Sorry. Thank you, Jesus. This is a Prophet's Corner Uncut, and it's also a combination teaching this week. So the title of it, this is Sunday morning, this is 5:17:20, is It's Time for an Uprising, is the name of it. It's time for an uprising. It is time for an uprising. So I'm going to speak a little bit of what the Lord said first, and we're going to interject scriptures as I do. The time of the sheltering in is over. The death angel has passed over. The plague has been stayed. It's time to rise up and not be afraid. Time to say, wherever you go, fear, no fear here. You know, we were talking about that. No fear here. That is right. Break the spirit of fear off of your nation and the nations of the world. Wherever you see fear, declare peace. Do not allow it to operate in your presence or domain, for you see this has been the real damage of the pandemic. Fear. And as you can see, it's amazing over a course of a couple of weeks, the whole world has been shut down. Satan uses fear. It is his MO, modus operandi. Fear is the real threat. Fear intimidates and can make people respond like sheep or cattle. Just look and observe its effects right now in your nation. This is why Satan has used his false flag events since he showed up in the garden. This is how he operates. I'm hoping somebody will rewrite our true history, and they'll show us what they planned in each thing. Even the 1918 Spanish flu was also a false flag event, killed lots of people. You know, Satan's agenda is to steal, kill, destroy. He doesn't have anything else, nothing else. This is how he operates, and he has kept humanity enslaved for these 6,000 years. The real pandemic is fear. Well, this is a new day and a new hour. There's not much evidence in the natural yet, but the tables have turned. You know, we're not seeing it naturally, but as I've said many times, and I'll say it again, you always see it in the spirit realm first. That's why as spirit people, we have to change things. We've been given dominion and authority to change things. So we change them in the spirit because why? There's a demon spirit working behind these wicked men. Okay. Remember always what you see manifest is in the natural. It is a result of a heavenly lost or won battle. You see something rise up you don't like, well, there was a battle lost. Or if you see something didn't happen the way they blab it to do, then you see there's a battle won. When we're seated in our heavenly places with Christ Jesus and we're doing what He told us to do, and we can do that anywhere, anytime, and nobody ever knows. If you watch TV, the television broadcast this morning, one of the last things I said was, don't be overt in it, be covert. You can change rules, regulations, and laws, and you can do it right in your chair where you pray or read. That's why Satan can't hurt the church. He cannot. He can shut every church in this country. He doesn't stop the church. We're underground. We have been for a long time. Now the institutions of the churches will go on and do their things. You know, they may get in sync with God and they may not, but they can't shut the church down. I mean, just look back at history of the different times where, especially, I guess, I don't know, China. The church is huge over there, and they're all underground. We just never thought it would ever come here. The battle is not with flesh and blood, but with demonic entities in the heavenly. So we have to be careful that we don't get into a fist fight, a word war. It's real easy on social media to get into some saying things to people, getting in a fight with people. You know, why should we put a target on our back? We need to use our words for producing good things, not aiding and abetting the enemy. All right, Ephesians 6. I'll stop here and read a scripture. This is just going to be basic kingdom operation this morning. We all know it, but sometimes we have to be reminded, especially in them night and them wee hours of the morning when you're awake and you're in pain. You need a reminder. Or you can't sleep. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are these ranks of demons. Wherefore, take unto you, Facebook, no, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That means when you've done all you can do to stand, and you're on your last leg, and you don't know where else to turn or where what else to do, you still stand, is what it's saying here. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Whatever you are experiencing, it's the devil coming at you, and he's trying to convince you that what he is saying is true. And what you do by standing and not being moved is saying, I believe the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's been so valuable to me. Learning to live from the inward man. Learning when you've got a problem you confront, praying in the Spirit. Get quiet somewhere. I do jigsaw puzzles on my phone, or I mean on my iPad. And I'll just pray sometimes 2 hours. And it's like the spirit man sustains a man when he's in sickness, in distress. We are spirit men made in the image of God. And so this is where we look for our answers, right here. Everybody out there has got an opinion, experts all over the place, and they are saying something different, kind of like that lady. You know, that we do this, except if we have to do it. You know, it's just like, it's confusion. God, the devil's world, Babylon, it means confusion. This world system, it's confusion. So who you got to believe? You better be believing right here. Because all this, it can look right, but it can lead you right down a path you don't want to go. All right. The enemy would drag this out as long as possible to cause as much damage as possible to fulfill his evil agenda. This is where you come in. It is time for an uprising. I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about the militia, which that'd be nice. It's time for my people to decree what they want and quit saying what they have. We're going to read the scripture here in a little bit. Jesus said, speak to your mountains, your situation, their circumstances. He didn't say, complain about them. Gripe to everybody on Facebook, every platform, Instagram, Twitter. A lot of people, well, it's a habit with me. People get around me, and before you know it, I'm like the dumpster. They're dumping. Yeah, dumping. They don't mean to. It's just they're looking for a solution. They're looking for help, you know. Probably the same way with you. You get around people and they just want to tell you, you don't know the trouble I've seen, you know. I don't really want to hear it, but you want to help people if you can. Okay. All right. Let's go to Genesis 1. We're going to see how God took care of his problems, his situations that he found himself in. Everybody there? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What happened? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We'll see later, God said everything he made was good. So what happened? Well, devil was here. I don't know when he was kicked out of heaven. I don't know. It indicates right here that there was another earth and it was destroyed by a flood. So Noah's flood wasn't the first flood, I don't think. I think that's why God made the promise not to flood the earth again, he said, because he had had to do it because the devil had been there and tried to destroy that world like he's been trying to destroy this earth. But what did God do? He didn't say, oh my God, what am I going to do? I've done this so many times, I don't think I can do it anymore. No, he said, turn the page. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He looked at darkness and he said, let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So we can go through the whole Genesis account and see whatever he made. He saw it, that it was good. So he put the man in the garden and he said, right over here, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. That's a ruler. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Do we see that today? No. For the most part, no. You got a remnant of the church that are, but a remnant. Kind of like the Gideon army. Out of 33,000 people, God picked 300 who listened to God, didn't even overthrew the enemy without the aid of weapons. Go read it. Judges, is it 6? Gideon, like a Gideon army. All right. I did not fear and panic over what I saw, is what the Lord said, but I called it the way I wanted it. Remember this, when you do, you can say like I said, it is good. Make America good again. Everywhere you see fear, call it the way you want it. Call it until you see all the fear gone out of every quarter. I've gotten in a habit to where when I leave the house, I send the SWATs out. The spiritual war attack teams, angels. Bind the devil, send them out to surround the perimeter wherever we go where he cannot operate and he cannot pull anything. You've been made in my image and likeness, and it's time to act like I acted. No more reacting. I had a teaching 2 or 3 years ago called, there's reaction going on all over the planet. That is the problem. My people have been reacting instead of acting. They've been saying what they have instead of what they want. Okay, I'll give you another reference. This is Genesis 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Not what God would call them. See, we're made like him. We're made to create. Our words create. The bad part is most are saying bad things out of their mouth and it's creating bad things. To see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So, whatever he called it, God said, I agree with you. I back you up. I agree. We've spent so much time as a church waiting on God to say something. When he's saying, you say something, I put you in charge here. I'm just the landlord. I gave you the earth for 6,000 years. Okay? Pretty simple. The tables have turned in the spiritual realm. It always will be there first. That's where you'll see it first. Then you will see it manifest in the natural realm. Now, I want to read this word last week. This was the Prophet's Corner, and I was prompted to read it again. It's called From Rags to Riches. You have heard this said, but now you will see it come to pass before your very eyes. The wicked have hoarded all the gold, all the resources that I've freely given to man, but now it will be stripped from them. They have laid it up. Well, they have laid it up for the righteous. They go from riches to rags. They're going to go from riches to rags. Just like their pandemic that was meant to control you and only give you essentials, now the tables have turned. Observe, hear, and see from this time forward that evil they meant for you will reverse and be for them. From the mansions to the luxury underground cities and stocked bunkers, they will receive a pot and a cot. Those that live. As they desire to control and have you shelter in, now they will be permanently sheltered in. Camp Gitmo. You will go from the prison to the palace, and they will go from the palace to the prison. It is about to begin, so be not discouraged at what they say over social media and on the news. Their destruction goes before their proud and boastful words, for they are declaring their own fate. And you will see it soon, and no longer will their voices be heard anymore or presence known anymore. Just like the children of Israel, they saw their tormentors dead on the seashore. Haman has been hung on the gallows. The trap they set for you will actually be for them. From here on, any and every endeavor they use to try to harm my church and my innocent ones will become unhinged, just like Pharaoh's chariot wheels. Mark this moment and begin to observe the downfall of the wicked. Every one of their wicked plots will backfire, and all they had planned for you will happen to them. I will turn the evil that the devil tried to do to you for your good. I speak that the FEMA camps, the guillotines, the coffins, the vaccines, the geoengineering, the whatever else, they've chemtrail, whatever they've tried to do to harm us comes back on them. That'll be their demise. What they've done to those little children. And we want him to go there. They came out against you one way, but they will flee before you seven ways. A sevenfold punishment for all they have done to my precious ones. Fear not, take courage, don't be afraid of their great boasting, for they are so used to getting their way, they never thought that they would see this day. See, that the saying that's always, it's been on social media since I've been on it, they never thought she would lose, because everything was rigged. See, this is God's operation. He's just like the Antichrist has his players, the devil, the beast, has his players, so does God. I am with you. I will never leave you. I said I would be with you to the end of the age. Now it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, a 1,000-year glorious reign on earth without the devil and his crowd to harass you. I can't wait. It will be like Lazarus in the Abraham's bosom, enjoying his life after all his suffering. The rich man looked up out of hell and had to watch how Lazarus was enjoying his life. That will be part of their torment. Not even a drop of water will be provided for their eternal suffering. They didn't mind all those many years watching humanity suffer. It is the end of the church age. I shut it down. Now, let's ponder that. I shut it down. Even though it looks as though the wicked did, their hand was in it, but I used it to my advantage, much like the president is using the pandemic to rescue the little ones and get many good things done for the American people. I will no longer endorse the old ways, the old church ways. It is a new day, and I'm moving on. It needed to be shut down and purged. Judgment had to begin in the house of God first. Shutting down churches and quarantines can't stop my church, for my true church has been working behind the scenes for a long time already. They are the ones like you that didn't fit into the traditional church mode. The church is established on me, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Many institutional churches will go back to business as usual, but I am not in it. My true sheep, my true church, hear my voice and they follow me. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the Babylonian system. Many want to return to normal. There will be a new normal in America and around the world. The end is not here. The beginning is. Okay, all right. Only good ahead. Remember, I called what I spoke to be good. It is time for you to rise up and stop being a victim to your circumstances. Now hear this. We're all suffering with this. It's time for you to rise up and stop being a victim to your circumstances. It is time for you to call your darkness light. It is time to put all fear aside, for faith and fear cannot operate together. One negates the other. No longer run and hide. You are safe, for in me you do abide. In Psalms 91. That's where we dwell. 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. We don't know that he wasn't thinking about COVID-19 when he said that. The Bible is relevant for all ages. Over the next days, weeks, months, and even years, you're going to see a brave new world. All the darkness will dissipate and America will have a new fate. Make America great again. It's not just a slogan that the POTUS speaks. It is born from heaven. America is great again. America is good again. Fear will no longer have a place when faith rises up. I'm not talking about rising up in your flesh, but rising up in faith. Not doing battle with the fist, but with your mouth. This is how I do battle. Okay, we're going to see how Jesus does battle. This is Revelation 19. Drink. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is a spiritual battle we're looking at here. People view it, it's all natural. No, it's a spiritual battle. This is how he speaks a word and wipes it all out. You have the same ability. You just don't know it. You don't believe it yet. Not like we have to believe it. We're going to see more of that. All right. Let's turn over to 12, Revelation 12. You're going to see the church here. The one that's not raptured. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the what? The word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame by the sword of their mouth. It is time to use your mouth in faith and get the right results, as opposed to using your mouth in fear and receiving what you do not want. In the face of any situation, you have a miracle in your mouth. John Osteen wrote a little book called There's a Miracle in Your Mouth, and he tells the story of his little daughter was born with Down syndrome. And they began to speak what they wanted, and they told them if she doesn't sit up at 5 months old, she's got that. But anyway, they spoke. They were faithful to speak exactly what they wanted. At 5 months old, exactly, she sat up. See, they had a miracle in their mouth. Everybody run around, pray for me. Oh, pray, pray, pray. Call every prayer chain over under the sun. That's why people don't know how to pray. That's why they never get any answers. It's they run to anybody and everybody and every dog to get a prayer. They're like the virgins that didn't have enough oil. They want to play piggyback on the ones who learned how to use their faith and learned how to use the word of the sword of their mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. You call the shots, whether you realize it or not. When faith arises, I arise. You want God to work for you? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When faith arises, God arises. All right, Psalm 68:1. It says, let God arise. We just sang that. We sang some scripture songs this morning. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. All right. Refuse to let the enemy intimidate you into saying words of fear. Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross, I'm not going to be speaking with you much from here on out because the God of this world, he has no part in me. We give the devil place with this. Blah, blah, blah. Our same thing that's used to create and to speak what we want and desire. We can sabotage our own selves by speaking words and siding in with the evil one. He rebuked Peter. Get thee hence, Satan, your offense to me. See, Peter didn't know how to talk yet. Paul said, you don't know how to talk yet. When you were a child, you talked like a child, you acted like a child. You spoke childishly, but now that you're a man, you got to talk like a man. You got to get disciplined and get this thing under control. James says it's like a fire. A tiny spark can set a whole forest ablaze. In other words, a wrong word out of your mouth can reap destruction. That's how powerful these mouths are. That's how powerful our words are as Christians. We've got to make sure we've in it. I remember Charles Kapp, the first guy that ever taught us faith. He talked about making a comment about somebody's house burning down. Now that shack over there, it burned down. And the guy with the car saying something about that old rattle trap, he scattered it all over the road. You know, just making these statements. People don't understand. We are speaking spirits and we create with the words of our mouth. That's why the words coming out better be the right words. Because it can be used. Look at this earth. You think bad words don't do bad things? Look at what we're living in. I can't even go in my mind thinking about here I'm walking around and 800,000 children disappear every year, and under our feet, they're going through torture, and they're going through... I'm just going, Lord, I'm sorry. I just didn't know. You know, sometimes you know things. Some things you know that aren't right, but you can't put your finger on it. Thank God for these times of the Great Awakening where people are getting their eyes open. They're coming out from under their projector. That's what TV is. It's what it all is. It's a projector. They're projecting to you what they want you to believe and what you want you to think, and they're still advancing forward trying to do their agenda. You can look on any social media platform. They're projecting their agenda right now, all over it, trying to scare people half to death. But you know what? God beats devil. He's under our feet. Jesus beat devil at the cross. He spoiled him. The only place he has here is under our feet, period. But we have to get in that word, renew our mind, and get disciplined to keeping this thing. It's not easy. It's a discipline. But you go through enough bad, you start getting the idea. I think maybe I better change something here. If I'm not seeing what I want, you have nobody else to blame but yourself. What you see is what you've spoken. Oh, it's not fun. But we've got to change our words. Just think about a world for 1,000 years, all peace, the devil's in the pit and all his minions. So you don't have that pressure on you. And you can hear the word of the Lord and you can learn to rise up and actually walk in kingdom authority and dominate the earth like the Lord wants you to without all the yuck. We've had bad so long, you know, it's kind of hard to even imagine something like that. But that's the way it's going to be. All right, Daniel chapter 3. Everybody there? It's chapter 3? Okay, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the councils, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, all them people. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up." Mark of the beast here. See, it's been around all this time, every generation. I mean, he was the start. He was the gold head of the statue. But "and also falleth not down and worship, say, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, all them instruments, they fell down and worshiped the golden image Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of all them instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." You can go look. It's in Daniel. And I think it's even in Revelation where, they try to force them to get the mark of the beast, and I have to fall down and worship the image. This is the beast. It's the beast. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of all these instruments, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," they weren't saying he wasn't. They said, "But regardless, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was charged against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thereby he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound to the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of smoke passed on them. Would he just do it for them? No. He'll do for all of us. See, faith pleases God. He honors faith. He doesn't honor any other way. Bawling, squalling, and begging, and screaming does not get God's ear. Faith does. All right, 1 Samuel. They're all through the scriptures. You can read the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, and see by faith, they all did it. I'm going to start with, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to start with about 32. This is 1 Samuel 17. I'll give you a little this is when the armies of Israel were, every time Goliath the giant would come out, there was a valley between the two armies, they'd run for the foxhole. Well, here comes David. 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against him, this Philistine, to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. One of the first teachings on faith we ever heard was learn how to believe God for a parking place when you go downtown, or for a pair of socks that you need. Don't start with the giant. Start small. Work your way up. And I went after it. So he killed the lion. He killed the bear. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David knew that God supernaturally came up on him, the Spirit of the Lord came on him for him to slay the lion and the bear. He knew it'd be the same with the giant. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me, see, he gave the Lord the credit, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go and the Lord be with thee. You know what faith really is? When you recognize God and that it's him and you believe him, despite the circumstances, then God comes in and does it. He killed this giant, not David. Not really. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put in helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. See, people are trying to work faith in the flesh. The Lord's been speaking to us for several years now about get used to my armor. Get used to doing your battles my way. Quit looking to fleshly means. Every time some little something happens, we got to run to the doctor. We got to run to this one. Run to that one for an answer. No, he's teaching us to draw upon his word, and he'll tell us what to do. If he needs for you to go to the doctor, he can tell you you need to go, and then you can go in confidence, not be afraid. You know what I'm saying? Not be scared they'll do something to you that you don't want done to you. And he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had. even in a scrip, with and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. When you begin to stand in faith, guess what? Here comes the devil, big, bad, ugly devil with his lies, his symptoms of whatever situation it is to try to scare you, just like the devil. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of heaven, with whom thou hast to fight. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take off thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came near nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. Some say he broke his skull. The stone did. Or the angel's force behind the stone broke his skull. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So David resisted the devil, didn't he? And the devil fled. He presided over the Philistine. Acts 16, another story. We'll just read a few scriptures there. All through Old and New Testament, stories like these. Paul and Silas were going about their business doing ministry, and a slave girl had been harassing them. They had a spirit of divination. And I won't do my voice today, how she probably sounded, but evidently it was an irritating, you knew there was a spirit involved there. You know, if you've ever been around people that there's something wrong there, and it's just, that's what it did. And finally, he turned around in a few weeks of this and cast the demon out of the girl. Well, but she was a fortune teller, a soothsayer, so she was worth a lot of money to the deep state of that day. And so they went after Paul and Silas and threw them in prison. So we're going to read, let's start with, let's go verse 20. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken immediately. All the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. So what would have happened if they'd have complained? Screamed, yeah, you know, I got rights here. Give me a phone call. Call my attorney. No longer listen to Satan's fake news. My word is the good news. What comes out of fake news? Fear, which is stealing, killing, destroying. What comes out of good news? Life, and that more abundantly. Don't fear. Don't fear it, faith it. Don't fear it, faith it. If you don't like the landscape, change it. Well, if you speak to a mountain, your view is a certain way. Well, when the mountain's gone, the landscape changes. So your view is completely different. That is what I did in Genesis 1. I put you here and gave you an example to follow in my footsteps. All right, this is what Jesus taught his disciples. This is Mark 11. We're We're going to begin with verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Rules, regulations, and laws change. They don't have to. If you see something you don't like, God's looking at you, waiting for you to call it. Jesus said, I'm a little put out here. I'm hungry. So you're not going to produce fruit anymore. Was he a man? Yes, he was. All right. Let's flip over to 20. So the disciples heard it. 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God, or the correct translation is have the God's faith, which he's given each one of us the measure of faith, his own faith to operate by. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, rule, a regulation, a law, a body part, whoever says to this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You believe first, then you see. You notice Jesus didn't go back and look every so often to see if it was so. Peter noticed that the tree was withered, but Jesus didn't go back and look at the tree. He just spoke. He just took authority. It's like a boss takes authority over employees. Do this, do that, do this, do that. See, we have that authority in the natural world, and we see that, and we do it. Well, it's this way in the spiritual realm, too, when it comes to faith. Don't be concerned about rules, regulations, or laws that you don't like. Change them. It is within your mouth to do so. You have the dominion here. How do you suppose the world got into the mess it is currently in? I left men in charge, for none of this is permitted in heaven. Now's your opportunity to not permit what you don't want in earth. The prayer I gave you is a prayer of power so that you can live heaven in earth. His kingdom come. His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you know he considers we're under the commonwealth of heaven? We're under an open heaven. We're all one community. It's not they're just up there having a good time. We're down here in this misery. No, it's not that way. Oh, my children, today it's time for an uprising. This is a war that can be fought in private. No weapons are needed except your spiritual ones. Proverbs 18:21, call it like you want it. Death or life are in the power of the tongue. Take control or you'll lose control. When you fail to take control, you'll lose control. That's a result of not taking control. When somebody gives you something and tells you it's yours, you have the authority over it. That's what God has done concerning this earth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, and we have the fruit of the Spirit in us. We have to learn to develop it. It's like, to me, it's like when you're born again, those seeds are deposited in you of the fruit of the Spirit, faith being one of them. And as you mature, that thing sprouts and you get stronger. Just like you plant something in the ground. Fear is fruit of the flesh. Galatians 5. We live from the inside and we are not moved by the outside. This is a biggie. You never again have to let Satan have the last word because you have the final word. It is written. Job 22:28 says, I have decreed a thing and it shall be established unto me and light shall shine upon my ways. Like I said, this is simple faith here. All right, we're going to read a few scriptures and we'll be done. Joshua 10. Joshua 10:10. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them by Azekah and Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from it before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he fought, said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. They broke the law of physics. Isn't that what that is? I don't know. Scientific laws. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? I've got a book of Jasher. I hadn't read it yet. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day, because God stopped it. No. Joshua did. And there was no day like it before or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. That's a sorry lot of mess right there. We need some Joshuas. So the Lord will have to say, I've got to take that out of my book, because this generation, they're making the sun stand still. They're calling them angels to loose those storehouses of hell up there to help them take out the enemy. I've prayed that before for our own forces, especially these going in those undergrounds. Lord, let your hailstones come down. Okay, James 5. That's what they're reserved for. They're heaven backs us up. Heaven's armies like Elijah, Elisha and Gehazi when the armies were coming against them. Elisha said, there's more with us than are with them. And Gehazi said, he's looking like, I see us. That's it. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when he did, he saw all around the chariots and horsemen of heaven, angels, to fight the battle. All right, James 5. All right. This is 5:17. Elijah, this is Elias, but it was Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. In other words, he was no different than we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Okay, we're going to end with Hebrews chapter 11. Anybody that did anything in the Word of God or has ever done anything in this earth was a person of faith. Because God honors faith. You can't get your prayers answered any other way. I mean, when you're a baby, God will accommodate a baby. Just like we accommodate babies. But there comes a time that the pacifier in the bottle is no longer working. And it was no, you're too big to suck the bottle anymore. It's time to stand on your own. All right, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His blood spoke. You know, you were talking about the ark, the blood from the Ark of the Covenant that's still alive. You know, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that's what's happening in our nation with all the spilled blood. That blood's crying out. To even today, it's crying out. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was found not found because God had translated him from before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder, not a punisher, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you see anything that's got killing, stealing, destroying on it, don't you dare blame God. I know people call those acts of God, but they are not. They're acts of the devil. God only does good. By faith, Noah, being warned of good things, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. 90, that's rarely past age. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. In other words, the Messiah hadn't come in their time. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. His kingdom come. That's what they're seeking. Just like we're seeking. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years. This is our history here, folks. We're reading our history here, our true history. By faith Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see here, you don't see any of their failures here recorded. That's good news, isn't it? Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as a dry land, which the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compressed 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But let me read a little bit of verse 12 and we'll be done. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these in the Hall of Fame are watching us as we walk our walk and we win our battles. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, he's there, he's cheering us on, he's leading the way. Huh?
Okay, I need everybody not to leave yet.
Okay.